Welcome to the Media Ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Woodrow.
Y'all doing? Yeah, everybody alive and ready to hear the word and good. Glad you're here. If you're visiting with us, sure glad that you have chosen to come join us here for worship this morning. We're very excited about what God is doing in the life of our church family, and everything that's going on. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask any of us with the little blue tags on after. We'd love to talk to you. Also, just there's a little card in the seat back in front of you, and if you came in a little bit later, we'd love to just have a record of you being here. If you have any questions for us or prayer requests, we have a mighty praying team. But it is off season, and so we are taking several weeks, and we are, can you pull the series up there? We are diving into G3 culture, and those of you who are part of Crossroads know that we have three words that really kind of we're praying and holding on to that God would really create this kind of culture of our church, which is grace, growth, and greater things. And that everything we do kind of flows through those three words. And so we're just taking a few weeks to just dive in a little bit about the building blocks of who we are, kind of our DNA. You know, who are we as a church? And just kind of refresh ourselves with some of these key things that really define our community and our family, the things that we're praying into and pursuing as a church family together. We started a couple weeks ago first looking at the idea of a culture of faith. How do we cultivate a culture of faith? Last week we looked at a culture of celebration. We need to really restore celebration back to the church. And we talked about the idea of baptism and Lord's Supper, that these are not to be solemn kind of, you know, things. There's incredible joy and celebration that is to surround these things when we celebrate life change, what God's done in our lives, the testimonies there. And the greatest thing that we celebrate is what Jesus has done for us, right, through the gospel. This morning, I want to talk about a culture of transformation. How do we cultivate a culture of transformation? So I just ask you before we dive in, we're going to be in Romans 8, if you want to follow along. I do not have all the scriptures up on the screen this morning, so if you have your Bible or iPhone or iPad, you can go ahead and find your way to Romans 8, chapter 8. And culture of transformation. So I just ask you, when you look at your life, how often do you just kind of take some time to look at your life and say, boy, this has got to change. I've got to change my life. I need some serious change in my life. And then how does it look like to go about actually moving towards that change? What does that look like in your life? And then a little deeper question for all of us to wrestle with is, boy, when we evaluate our lives, can we give testimony to God's transforming work in our lives? Can we speak about and we look back in our life, maybe even just this last year, and can we give testimony to, wow, this is what God is doing inside my soul. This is what he's doing inside my life and through my life. Just evidence that the power of the gospel, that the power of the Holy Spirit is at work. It is present in my soul. And God is at work, conforming me to the image of Christ. Those are big questions. Those are deep questions, aren't they? And I just encourage you that those things are not just to happen in isolation, just like us alone with God and his word, is that's definitely a part of the discipline. But the primary way we change is that we interact with each other based on the word of God and based upon our willingness to step out in faith and be vulnerable and open up our souls to other people to speak into our lives. That's how the Spirit of God moves and starts changing. Because, you know, the reality is for all of us is that we're kind of blind to a lot of areas in our life, right? We need our spouse to kind of point out, right, certain areas that, wow, we think we're just fine. But it's when we get our spouse being honest that it's like, whoa, really? Oh, okay, you know. Kind of the curtain gets drawn back, doesn't it? And we all need friends. We need faith friends to really give an honest look into our lives and to be able to speak truth. Those faith friends around us, right, really condition a lot of these things in our lives. And we need to be growing, right, as a culture where we, Ephesians 4 talks about speaking the truth in love right into each other's souls. We need to be able to develop that, right? Ask good questions, right? It's just amazing, isn't it, how much time can go by just surface relationship, and really good questions are never asked. And so I throw that out to you. What good questions have been asked you lately? And flip it. What good questions have you asked somebody? Parent to a child, maybe even. Or your spouse, or other friends, or other people, just asking pointed good questions. What you'll find is that slowly, is you know what? You're not satisfied with normal, just surface conversation any longer. Is that it's a lot more fun to dive deep in and to partner with God in this and see what happens in conversations. I was on my way home yesterday, stopped in Vail at, anybody been to the Northside Kitchen in Vail? Yeah. There you go, Bill, you're on it, man. So I sat at the bar. I was alone because Michelle dropped her off. She's down in Texas helping the other, our other girls at Baylor get all packed up for the summer. And we went and just sat at the bar and got lunch. And I was just taking notes. I listened to podcasts and I was just taking notes. And this guy walks up to the bar and goes, "Man, what are you checking us out here? Are you grading us or something?" He was like all defensive. And I go, "Oh, no. Just take some notes on podcasts." We start talking and he ends up being the owner. And we got into this conversation there, and it was really cool. And of course, he didn't even waste any time. "Where are you from?" I told Massman. "Now they got it going, and he's got kids," and we start talking. And of course, the next question, "What do you do?" And that threw him for a big loop. And so he's trying to get his head around that whole thing, but we had a great conversation, and the conversation went deeper. And he got a little restless, and he started getting busy again. But what was funny about it was a lot of people at the bar, the place was packed. It's really good, by the way. Is that he kept coming around the bar and he'd go, "So Rev, how are those pancakes?" You know, like loud, right? So it opened up this whole, it was kind of funny. But anyway, I'm sure appreciate me giving an advertisement for the Northside Grill. But you just, you know, it's just engaging people at a little bit lower. Just show you care. You know, just show you care. It's pretty awesome. Ask them about their kids, about their family, whatever. And the idea is just, Lord, I'm a vessel. Remember, Jesus says, "You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth." In other words, the world needs light, because you know what? A lot of people got a lot of darkness. They need light. You're the salt of the earth. You know what? We all need healing. We all need encouragement and healing. We're wrestling with certain areas. And you know, oftentimes it's those who are all look like they got it all together who need it the most. Just be available to God. And when the Holy Spirit starts coming and transforming you, making you like Jesus, you know what happens is you start thinking more about the people around you than you do right here. And that starts showing up with how you use Facebook, by the way. It's not so, "Hey, world, look at my great, you know, what I've been doing." But it starts using those avenues, what? To get a good message out, right? So let's dive in here, Romans 8. I got three questions for you. I give you these three questions. They're simple, but they're profound. If you want to not just be a person that is being transformed by the Holy Spirit, but also to have a culture, a church that is being transformed by the Holy Spirit and into the likeness of Christ, these three questions should be normal. They can be reworded, but they need to be fleshed out in regular ways, questions that we should just be asking ourselves even on a daily basis, but on a regular basis with others in the sense of, man, I'm not seeing the change. I'm not seeing God come alive in my soul, in my life like I should. I'm not experiencing the promises, inheritance that are mine like I should. So here are the three questions. First one is this: who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? Folks, if we can't answer this question, if I do not have ultimate confidence in that question, I remain lost. And this is exactly what the scripture, how it defines someone that does not know God. And that's someone who's just running from God to someone who thinks they're religious. They're going through all the steps, but down deep inside, there's still this insecurity as, I don't know where I belong. It's called an orphan spirit. It's called being lost. And if that's open, the enemy has an absolute point of attack to get in and mess us up. And folks, I don't have to go down the stats to show you our culture today, especially for young people moving up into high school and into college, their identity, your identity is under attack today more than ever. You know what I mean by that? There's more attack on questioning who I am, right? Ever before. There's more options. There's more confusion. There's more insecurity. There's more emotional trauma in our nation than ever before right now. And the enemy, if he can rock this, he can get a little crack in someone just not sure who they are and insecure in that. That is the main gateway for all kinds of problems. That's why Jesus came to save us. He came to save the lost. He came to save those who were just confused about why they're here in the world and where do I belong. Right? Came to save the orphan. That's why over and over again, Jesus came for the poor. What he means by that is those who are lost in this world, the orphan, the widows, those who have a fractured family and who are really struggling and hurting with finding their place in the world. Jesus came to restore and to draw us right into community, draw us into family, and that we would have that security, that stamp of approval of the Father. We are his. We are his. So, folks, the first question is, who do we belong to? Who do we belong to? It has to be a regular question. And for a parent to a child, it is absolutely critical, right? To not just establish you belong here in this family that God has blessed us in this, but even bigger than that, is you belong to him. And he has an incredible eternal inheritance for you. Life that is eternal. Okay? The next question is, who are we listening to? Who are we tuning into? Talking about transformations, we are going to be conformed to who we've given our mind and our ears and our heart to. Who's speaking into our lives? Who have we given that privilege to speak into our lives? That is transforming who we are more than we'd ever, ever imagine. And this is the tragedy of the media age we live in, right? I mean, it is incredible. Again, you know, being in Fort Collins and just Mallory was finishing up some of her exams, and so Michelle and I acted like, you know, college students and just kind of went around and had coffee and hung around and looked at everything going on, just observing. It's just fascinating to me. But I mean, it is a plugged in. I don't know if I saw anybody that didn't have the phone out while they're walking, plugged in something, right? Who are we listening to? Who's speaking into your life? And you know what? There is no off switch. There is no neutral here. Our environment is speaking into us. Wherever my environment is, those around, my friends, the circles I'm in, my work environment, whatever it is speaking into my life. The question is, do I have a filter, right? Am I letting God's word, am I letting the truth and God's people and his faith friends, right, have the majority of that? And this becomes absolutely critical, right? If we're really struggling in a time of struggle or you know something really is happening in our lives, boy, we need faith. We need encouragement into our life, right? Because, again, there's just not much encouragement out in the world, right? We need to turn that TV off, turn that media off, right? And get into the Word of God and get around God's people and the spiritual gifts. This is why they're so important, is that the Holy Spirit moves and brings God's Word and truth to bring encouragement in special ways into our lives. We desperately need that. The right word. Hopefully you've experienced that. You're struggling. You just need some encouragement. You need some direction. You just need to know if you're doing the right thing or something. And joy, God brings someone to bring a word of encouragement to you at just the right time. Man, that just bolsters you, doesn't it? It's like, God, thank you for that. So you need that little lift. And folks, that's what, by the way, why I'm all off track here a little bit, but this is why the scripture in 1 Corinthians 14 says, men, everybody should pursue the gift of prophesying. Why is that? Because we all, when we gather together, we all should be encouraging each other. We all should be open. God, what do you have? You have something for me to bring encouragement, to speak into somebody's life, to lift them up. Right? This is what it's all about. Who are we listening to? Third one is, who are we working for? Right? I have to regularly ask, and folks, whatever you do, out there in the marketplace, at home, or wherever you're at, whatever your vocation is, whatever you do. All right, a day shouldn't go by where we have to remind ourselves first thing in the morning, Father, let me honor you with what I do. Thank you for this provision. Thank you for this job. Even if you hate your job, do not grumble. Best way for God to launch you out into something better is you start doing a doubly better job in that terrible job. You start honoring God in that job. You start being the very best worker in that job. And you start thanking God for that provision and asking him to provide and open up a new avenue. Grumbling gets us nowhere. It spirals us down, right, into a terrible path. Who am I working for? Even in the midst of the worst, terrible day, the wheels are falling off the bus and everything. God, I'm working for you. Let me honor you in this terrible situation. That's faith. Right? In my honor, I'm stewarding God. Everything I have is a stewardship. All good things come from the Father above. It's a stewardship, right, that I hold on to. So those are the three questions. Folks, hold on to them. They're critical to understand. They're critical in forming who we are. They are absolutely necessary if we are going to walk, continue to walk in transformation and have the Spirit of God change us into Christ's likeness. Who do you belong to? Just encourage yourself. Preach the gospel to yourself. Lift yourself up. Right? When things are going bad, relationally, trauma around you, who do you belong to? When you're under attack, right, with depression or thoughts, terrible thoughts, who do you belong to? Right? And who are you listening to? Sometimes, folks, we have to rip ourselves out of our context. Sometimes we have to leave a friend group. Sometimes we have to leave the party. Sometimes we need to move away into a different context, right, so that we can get clear ears and get away from bad voices. Sometimes we have to put firm boundaries in our life, even with those very close to us, because those words are coming in as harsh and curses and brutalizing us. We got to put a boundary up because I got to get some encouragement. I got to listen to something that's going to build me up and make me more like Jesus, right? Who am I listening to? Right. And finally, who are we working for? I'm working for the King. You're working for the King. It doesn't matter what you do. And you know what that means? Man, you got the very best boss you could ever imagine. And all resources are at his hands. And he loves reaching down into this world and just find somebody whose heart is for him that he might lift up a little shepherd boy and make him a king. That's how God works. He's just looking for the faithful in the little things and the corners that just want to honor him throughout the day. Right, to get a mighty testimony for his glory. If you can't be, as the scripture says, faithful in the little thing, how are you going to be faithful with eternal things, big things? Your work is critically important to God. How you do it, how I do it, who we work for, all right? Hold on to those three questions. I just want to dive in. Romans 8 is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. And boy, I would love for us to be here and just dive into the details. It's got so much here. So I'm just going to scratch the surface with a couple verses, kind of bringing some light to these three questions. These three questions in a thousand different ways are answered in this one chapter alone. And let me just read the first four verses as we talk about, back to the first question, who do we belong to? Listen to this. There is therefore now, folks, listen to the word of God. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That sink in. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. There's so much radical truth in that verse. Do you believe it? Then why do you entertain condemnation? Why are you holding on to your sin, your shame, your guilt? Why are you allowing yourself to be condemned? Jesus has broken, he set you free if he's in your heart. He has set you free from condemnation. There is none for those who know Jesus. Only freedom. That's just too good to be true. This is what he did on the cross. This is what Jesus did for us that we receive by faith. Best news in the entire universe. There's no greater news than that. But why do we allow and give space to the enemy to keep beating us up, keep condemning us, keep just letting our shame and our sin and our guilt, just the enemy. Those are things where the enemy has strongholds. He just gets a hold of us. Keeps us from the last thing the enemy wants to do is have us what? Become like Jesus. To be living testimonies of his glory and his grace. So why? Why do we, when we know the truth, hold on to it, coddle it? And let it have dominion and power over us. And allow these things to continue to just hold us back. Man, look what he's done for us, folks. There's no condemnation. What a life. What freedom. What peace. I mean, let's just drill down deep inside all of our souls and everybody else's soul. Can you imagine sitting here right now, folks? That truth is right now. It's not something you have to do. It's not some huge religious hoops you got to jump through. You can rest in that peace right now. You can lay hold of that freedom by faith right now. And what's even more powerful is the real test of this as a Christian is when I screw up. When I really flub it up and the shame hits me and I messed up again and I've sinned and I just screw up. What do I do then? Oh, the enemy, he's waiting, and maybe even others are waiting to bring that condemnation just to heap that sin and shame again. Oh, but even, folks, I want you to hear this. Even in the midst of your worst sin, even in the midst of your worst shame, even in the midst of the guilt that comes with all that, even in the midst of my big, huge mess I still make sometimes, that is true. He doesn't condemn me. Scripture says simply, if I come, 1 John 1, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to wash me. And if my heart is a heart after him, I'll, God, wash me. Wash this sin. Strengthen me. Strengthen me. May your spirit come. It's only by your spirit that I can, right, effectively walk and obey you. I can't do it on our own. And folks, I said this in the first service. I just think it's so critical to let this sink in our souls. God is not in the controlling business. He has no intention to control you. Religion and man does. God has no desire to control you. He created you with a free will. He wants a loving relationship. He wants you to love him. He wants you to seek him. He doesn't want to control you. If you don't want him, you know what? You can run from him. You can go do what you want to do. You can run after the world if you don't want God. He doesn't want to control you. All of these promises are available, as Jesus says. Anybody hungry here? Hey, is anybody thirsty? Does anybody want what God? Does anybody want this truth? Right? He's just looking for people to what? Run into his arms, the Father's arms. Jesus' arms wide open to anyone. No matter how far you've been down seeking things in the world, his arms are wide open. But he's not going to control you. If you have that in your brain, well, if I come to Jesus, then this and blah, blah, blah. No, he wants your heart. He wants your heart. He created each of us in his image with a free will so that we would desire to be with him. Because he desires to be with us. And he will not control you. And folks, the other part of this that all Romans, and oh my gosh, if we just had time, please take these, write them down, dive into them this week, let God show you his truth in all these passages. But okay, here's the other thing is, for so long we grew up, it's this idea, well, how do I change? How do I transform? Well, if I just do this, I got to do this. You can't do it. It's the whole point of the gospel. I can't do it. I'm going to stumble and fall, and I don't have the power to transform myself. So all the lies of the world, hey, man, just you, it's you. Power, positive thinking, blah, 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 whatever it is. Well, go ahead, spend your money. Not going to get you anywhere. Until we surrender, Holy Spirit, you come. Why does he give the Holy Spirit? We can call upon his power. God, Holy Spirit, come. You strengthen. Have fellowship with my spirit. Make it happen, God. Oh, he longs to hear those words from his children around the world. He'll move the entire world to go reach the child who honestly longs to know him and who calls out for his help to come and to help us in a time of need. That's our loving Heavenly Father. Oh, he is tuned in to the cries of his children. no matter where they are, if they will call upon, if we call upon him to come and to help us. Verse 3, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Because the whole Old Testament is just proof of this. Here's the law, now go do it. Good luck with that. Right? As a parent, you know that, right? Any parents in here have any children where you give them the law and boy, that did it, they obey it all the time? And by the way, cross-culturally, we got people from around the world in here. Did it any different there as a parent? You just say, hey, here's the law of the house. Okay, child, you just obey it, right? And you'll be blessed. Anybody have a child that says, oh, I got it. Oh, I'm going to obey. Why is our world so deceived to think that, hey, you know what? We can be good. We can do this. We can do this thing. No way. And part of coming Jesus is just that reality. I can't, God. I surrender. Come on. Come and do it. And folks, wherever you're at this morning, that's what the Spirit of God wants to do right now. Is the area that you have been striving at, working at, religious and trying your best to change and change things. You can't do it. You just can't do it. He can't. And it's starting this incredible journey of what it means to walk by the Spirit of God. To listen to the voice of God. And to be in His Word, not just study, not academic, but as we come to it, God, speak to me. Speak to my soul. I need your help to understand your Word and get it in my life. Right? He condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Jesus came fully human, lived a perfect, sinless life. It's the only perfect sacrifice. He did it so we could walk in His footsteps. So the being the perfect sacrifice is that he defeated the power of sin over our lives, the power of death itself over our lives, so that by faith, you know what, we could walk in that too. And now, by the Spirit, not by our flesh, but by the Spirit, I can now live like Christ. I can fulfill the law. When we ask Him and start this journey of understanding His help in my life. Folks, who do you belong to? You belong to Him? At every turn, this society is going to just beat you up at every turn about who you are, who you belong to, your identity, your security. This is the foundation. If I waffle on who I am, who I belong to, the house is a house of cards. You can look great. You can do 1,000 things. Your life can be all put together. I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time until the cards come down. It's got to be a solid foundation. And that begins with absolute assurance. This is who I am. Standing on the rock. We're His. In all those passages, no one can snatch me out of the hands of Jesus. And as we're going to read here at the end of this chapter, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Do you build yourself up with that? Because I'm His. And He has my eternity. He's got an incredible inheritance waiting for me that I can start laying hold of even now. Right? Even now. Who are we listening to? That's the next question. And folks, this is this dynamic of learning. And this is why it's so important to just be in fellowship with each other. We need people who've been down the road longer. Us. Talk to me. This is a very important question we should be engaging each other with. Talk to me. Help me. How do you walk by the Spirit? What does that look like? How do you get the Spirit of God inside your soul and start transforming? How do you stop living according to the flesh and live according to the Spirit? Show me how to set my mind on the things of the Spirit. How do you do that? This is the kind of dialogue that should be going in a healthy family, in a healthy community, in a church that is cultivating transformation. Show me how. Pray with me. Show me the passage. Show me the truths, the promises. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, separation from God. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law, nor indeed can it. Right, so the mind that is set on the flesh is going to look at this book as something to disprove. And folks, I believe a lot of us, more than we realize, is that we've grown up really more in studying the Bible as a skeptic, as an intellect, rather than as a child of God that is in fellowship. God, help me. Reveal this to me. Get it in my soul. Let me be obedient to this. Because what we have today in the church is much more of the fact of, well, I'm not sure about that part or that part. I really don't like that part. Right? That's not faith, by the way. And it'll get you nowhere. Walking and living in the strength of God and understanding what it is to submit to the Spirit of God and to learn what it is to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. Now, the things of the world, the things of the flesh are very simple. 1 John 2:16 lays them out. There's three primary things that define the world and the flesh. First one is just the desire of the eyes, materialism. What do my eyes desire? In other words, being consumed with the physical world, a priority on that rather than on the spiritual world and eternity. Right? That's setting my eyes on material stuff. The other one is the desire of the flesh, which is hedonism. Right? The things I want to do, whatever, if it feels good, do it. Right? I just want to feel good. So I'm going to run after that. I want to just satisfy my emotions and my body for a little bit. And the third one is the pride of life, egotism. Right? The world means I. In this our culture today, entitlement and everything. All social media is all about the big ego, right? It's all about me. Look at me. Right? Putting I at the center, that's death, folks. It's just death. And the crazy thing is, you know what? I would just be willing to say most people would even don't believe that egotism is good. But isn't it show you the bondage we're in? Because we just keep running. We say it's not good, but we keep getting in more and more bondage to it. Right? So that's what the world is. Materialism, hedonism, egotism. That is the setting our mind on the world, on the flesh. That is hostility towards God. That is running from God. That keeps us in bondage from the good things in life. The bigger question, though, is what does it look like to set our minds on the things of the Spirit? What is that? Do you have people in your lives where that's what you talk about? At the dinner table, do you talk mainly about those other three things that we talked about? Or do you mainly talk about the things of the Spirit? What's going on? How do I set my mind on the Spirit? Folks, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. There's this blending of who I listen to, who I belong. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. There's this exchange going on. And for me to set my mind on the things of the Spirit, the natural person cannot do that. And so when I accept Jesus in my heart and the Holy Spirit comes in, I have to learn. God, show me how to set my mind on the things of the Spirit. And Colossians, Paul talks about setting our minds on the things that are above. Right? And look at this encouragement, though. In verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. This is our weakness. We don't know how to do this. We're so conditioned by setting our minds on material things, on things that are desiring, right, of our pleasure, and on putting ourselves. We're so consumed. How much time? Isn't it? I did this just recently. I just said, all right, God, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to try to see how often I think about myself. It was scary. Even down to little things. To see how much, do you realize how much consumed you are in thinking about yourself? Here's a little wisdom. It'll get you nowhere. Start thinking on the Spirit. You know what happens is everything you need and I need when it comes to myself gets exploded, because now I'm part of God's plan. What he's concerned about all around me. Okay. But it says here that we don't know how to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Is this not awesome? Anybody have a struggle know what to pray for sometimes? Anybody struggle praying? Wow, you are a holy group. Holy cow. Man. That's impressive. Folks, we all struggle. How do I pray? What do I pray for? What needs to be prayed for? I don't know how I'm feeling here in this terrible situation. How do I pray? How do I pray? Holy Spirit, come. Give me the words. And to know that if you're a child and your heart is open to Him, the Spirit of God's interceding. And down here in verse 35, it says, not only is the Spirit interceding to the Father, but if you belong to Jesus, Jesus is interceding to the Father for you, for your good. Because verse 26 says now, check this verse out, right? Or 28. We know that for those who love God and who've been called according to His purpose, all things work together for good. Good. All things work together. Man, if I know I belong to Him, if I'm trying to listen to His Word and learn to put my mind on the things of the Spirit, I know in this life everything, even the worst suffering and everything that God, my God, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit interceding, I'm known, my name is known in heaven. He loves me, He cherishes me, and that everything that is going on in my life, it ultimately, God is working it for this incredible good. Is that encouraging? Do you need to know that on a regular basis? I know I do. Holy cow, God, I don't see you at work in this. This is a mess right now. I don't know what's going on, but man, I rejoice. I stand on the foundation of your word and listening to that, who I am. I know you're working some good. You're at work always, even though I can't see it. It's called faith, by the way. So transform your soul, how you enter into suffering and other things. The final thing here, so much in here, just who we're working for. And down here, he says, and if we're children, heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, folks, that means all the promises of God, Old Testament and New, are yours. Are yours. You know how you get them in your life? You got to go after them by faith. You got to go grab them. You got to own them. You got to step into those things. But he says this, provided that we suffer with Christ in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Whoa, what does that mean? Suffer with Christ. It means to follow Jesus, that we have to follow His mission. To be like Jesus means I got to live like Jesus, which means I have to be consumed by the mission of God. And the mission of God is that God wants to get His Spirit inside your soul and my soul, transform my life, make us each alike in our unique spheres of influence, that we would learn to step into people's life and bear up their burdens. We'd be willing to suffer like Jesus, that we'd learn to step into the messes of life, step into people's suffering, and to be able to be a light and see transformation and love come to that person. And so throughout our day, this transforms how we do our work. If we're working for Him, is that we're there not just to get our work done with excellence, by the way, as a good steward, but that we're there also, God, you got a mission for me? What are you doing here? What are you doing today? You got something I need to reach out and serve somebody? I'm telling you right now, you start serving, even if you're at a higher level, you start serving the people in your office, I'm telling you right now, you'll change overnight the atmosphere of that office. You'll change it. This is why Jesus, at the Lord's Supper, remember, the lowest of low of the slave was to wash people's feet. Is that Jesus got down, and when He washed the disciples' feet, He changed the atmosphere. He changed, turned upside down completely what it meant to lead and what it meant to serve. Okay, Dirk, y'all come on up here. Just, gang, in closing, back to my weekend, Michelle's and my, our adventure this weekend. We were, as I said, in Fort Collins, helping Mallory get packed up for the summer. She's on her way back now. And on Friday night, we went to, she's part of Navigators there. Anybody heard of Navigators? The great organization. Man, it was like 300 college students, and they were meeting, and it was the end of the year, too, so it was usually larger. But I tell you, I sat there in, there's just so many things to give thanks for. We get the highlight reels in college of all the trauma and the terrible stuff, and it's there. Right? And I'll tell you about some of it here in just a second, but sitting there and seeing, folks, these 300 of these college students, this is just one. She's a part of a church Mill City there. Church Mill City there, that's just phenomenal. There's phenomenal churches all around there. There's some great stuff happening. But these 300 kids, they were passionately worshiping our Savior. All right, I mean, just engaged in the joy. And as I sat back, it was like just a joy, a vision of that is what we want to see happen with the next generation. These kids were loving on each other, serving on each other. The graduating seniors, they were called down front. Those younger classmen circled them up, laid their hands on them, gave them a blessing, thanked them for the seed of blessing they poured into their lives while they were there, and just worshiped with full-on abandonment our Savior. It was such an encouragement to see, wow, Lord, you are at work. You're at work, especially it's tough in this town when young people do not have yet a large community of kids who are passionate for their faith to be encouraged by, right? Amazing. Folks, here's the deal. Especially for college, anybody who's high school, college student here, parent, those three questions. If a person steps on any college campus in America today and you're insecure in those three questions, you don't know who you belong to. The world will sweep you away. If you don't know who you're willing to listen to, you don't know what you need to get in your soul to make you who you are, I'm telling you right now, the world will sweep you away. If you don't know who you're working for, if you don't know why you're at college, ultimately, right, to be equipped to go out and be God's representative, you'll be swept away. We left that meeting on a high, walked out the doors, and many of you may have heard of this, but once a year in Fort Collins, I do this thing called the Undie Run. And there were college kids everywhere in their underwear, parting it up, running everywhere. At every stop sign, there were just people running. It was a mob. What a contrast. And that's it, folks. There's two roads. And Jesus made it very clear. You got the broad road, the way of the world, and that's the way it's going. The tragedy is those kids desperately need the love of the Savior. They need someone stepping in their life and showing them a God who loves them and has something so much better, a better party, a better life. Because they're selling out to the world. They don't know where they belong. They're just trying to find the party. They don't know, they don't have a filter to know what to listen to that is going to build them up. And they sure don't know who they're working for. They're working for the weekend for themselves. Folks, they need a light. They need a light. And all the people in this town, they need a light. They need to know something, that awesome grace, the mercy of God, that there is someone who will take your shame, that will take the shame of the walk of shame the night after, will cover that, take it away, take all the relational baggage and trauma and cover it, set you free. There's nothing like it on earth, right? Know who you belong to. Know who you're listening to. And know who you're working for. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Sink it deep in our soul. Holy Spirit, come. Do your work, God. Transform us even now according to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.